going to have a fun service ahead of us today. It's our annual meeting, so we're going to get some time to hear from different ministries. But we're going to begin by welcoming the Holy Spirit to our service today, and I'm going to need you to stand and sing nice and loud to encourage people to come on in and join us. All right, you guys ready? Here we go. Let the power of God fall down on us. Let your power fall down right now. Let the power of God fall down on us. Let your power fall down.
All right, we're going to sing that again. Let the power of God.
Let the power of God fall down on us. Let your power fall down.
We're alive to glorify your name.
Jesus, move. Lord, we just ask for your presence with us today. Holy Spirit, come. Move among us. Enlighten us. Empower us. Visit us today, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Spirit of the living God, come now. We want to hear your voice. Lord, we don't want to do anything without your power, without your direction. So as we come today to talk about the ministry of our church and all that you are and all that you have for us, God, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. So come. Here we go. Let's sing.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word.
are, would you lift up your own prayer to Holy Spirit, to Almighty God today, and say, Lord, would you change us? Would you help us to hear what we need to hear? Just lift up your own prayer. If you want to pray it out loud, please do. But let's just worship our God today by asking him to come and be in our midst. Let's sing that first verse again. Here we go.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word.
So Spirit, come and be present among us today. Help us to hear, help us to listen, help us to respond in a way that honors you and builds your kingdom and builds your church. Lord, we just bless you and we praise you this morning. We thank you for all that you are doing among us today, what you've done among us these past months, and what you're going to do. God, you've got big things in store for us. We know you do because you're a big God. And so we just bless you this morning. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, but what we're going to do now is we're actually going to dismiss the children for children's church. I know it's a little earlier than usual, but that's okay. We're just doing everything a little weird today. So children, let me pray for you, and then we can dismiss you to children's church. And as we like to do, if you've got a child near you, would you reach out your hand, and you can put it on them if they let you. If not, just hover over them, and let's pray for our kids. Lord, we just bless our kids today. We thank you for them. And we know, God, that this church is just as much, they are just as much a part of this church as all of us are. And so, God, as they go to children's church, would you just begin planting in their hearts the role that they have to play as believers that belong to this family? We thank you for them, God, and we thank you for this chance that they get to hear from you in a way that they can hear and understand. Pray for their teachers that you will give them wisdom and insight. And we just bless them today, Father, and bless you for them. Thank you, God. Amen. So, children, you are dismissed. Go with Miss Margaret. There she is.
Well, good morning and welcome to First Alliance Church on this very special day. It's a special day because this is either the first day when it's really felt like fall or it's the first day when it feels like winter. I'm not sure. But in any case, the weather certainly has changed. I hope you're feeling warm today and comfortable. But this is a special day for us at First Alliance Church because this is the day of our annual meeting. And what that means is this is the day when we look back over the past year at the ministries that have been carried out, at the things that have been done, things that have been accomplished for God's kingdom. And it's also a time when we look ahead as well. So we welcome you. We're glad you're with us today. And we're going to begin today with a report, which is a little bit out of order, but that's okay, because this is our GCCBF report, and they're having a service downstairs, and the gentleman who is speaking today in their service is going to give the report, so it was necessary for him to come a little bit earlier in the order of things, and we're going to welcome Brother Yue, that's what he wants us to call him, and he's going to give the report for GCCBF. So thank you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Kevin. So, thank you all for letting me have this opportunity to report to you what's been going on in GCCBF. So, in the past year, one of the first things I want to mention is that we started a Friday night Bible study group. So that was one of the focuses of past year. And now we have about 40 to 50 adults going on every Friday night, and about 15 to 20 children. So there's quite a crowd down there on Friday nights. And we have dinner, and then we will, you know, sisters and brothers, they cook downstairs, so we use the kitchen a lot. Made it probably a little bit messy. And then we have worship. And then we have testimonial time. I think that was really helpful to the folks there. And then we have Bible study. Right now we're doing Matthew's. So there are three groups. Like there's a students group about 20 people, like 15 to 20 people. There's an older group is about 15 to 20 people. And actually there's a mother's group. And it's kind of growing. It's last night was, or a couple nights ago, it was about 11 people there. So Daniel probably keep a better record of how many people. So this is all just, yes. So, and half of them are seekers. So it's really a great opportunity to minister to the folks around here. And then and we have our Sunday services is the discovery class, which is a Chinese discovery class. It's kind of extension of what Paul and Nancy been doing downstairs, running parallel, attract a lot of people who live pretty close by, and there's about 10 to 12 people, adults, and that room is getting a little crowd packed. And then afterwards, we have Chinese service, which usually have 20 to 30 people. So, and then afterwards, we it will be followed by lunch and fellowship. So time, we put a lot of focus on eating. Because we think that it's important for people to have some time together and they can share their, you know, just their personal life, fellowship. So last year, one of the main focus for us is to try to reach out to the students. So especially the new students, first year, they first come here. So one of the great ways to get to know them is to pick them up in the airport. And then helping them to settle down and then moving furnitures and things like that. And we probably picked up about 60 to 70 people. And then with some of their friends and know their friends, introduce them to this place. And, you know, in the past experience, when we do things like that, usually the students eventually will settle down sort of in church. It's not very many. But this year, I think the Lord especially blessed us because right now, I think we have probably about a dozen people regularly come to Friday nights or Sunday, or some of them are even coming on both, even though they are still seeking the truth. So that's one of the main focus we did last year. And then we are trying, and we of course we had our big welcome outreach event. We had the a Supreme Court Justice of Georgia come to share with us. And also we did, we're trying to set up with the help of our students to set up an Emory student club in the campus so that we can actually move into the campus and have our flyers and, you know, things like that. But that process is taking a little bit longer because it takes a long time for them to approve things like this. And, you know, without, you know, further burden you with all the things we have been doing, we also have our Wednesday prayer meeting, and now it's changed to a format of, you know, virtual prayer meeting. Actually, we find that people will join, more people will join. And then we had our retreats. Of course, we are a partnership, right? Without your support and help, nothing can be done. And we communion together. We do the baptism together. Sometimes we have the services together. And then we have a lot of activities doing together. The VBS, the latest, the apple picking trip is very, yeah. In a good way. So I just want to thank you all for your help, for your support. We're all in God's family trying to do God's work. Now, the challenges, so I want to also mention some of the challenges I think we face right now. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but the first challenge is I guess every church has this challenge, is we need more committed workers. But it's also sort of, I think the Lord just kind of don't quite give you all you need so that you know you're not depending on yourself, right? It's not you are doing all this. And we, another challenge we have is we have a lot of activities, but how to really get the believers to have a closer relationship, right? We can really know each other's life and share each other's struggle and know what's going on deep down in their mind. That's very important, because the scripture talks about being of the same mindset. So I think that's the two main challenges we have. And in terms of the outreach, the field, I think we struggle to reach the undergrads. We have some undergrads coming in, but they can't stay. They show up a couple of times, and they leave. So we're still trying to figure that out. And then of course there's families. There are a lot of families are coming. You know, even though we didn't intentionally focus on the field on this group, but I think God has brought them here. So we need to find out a way to really minister to them. So please keep us in your prayers about these challenges. So going looking forward, I think hopefully next year we'll be able to establish a core group. See, we already have some sort of loose leadership structures, and we have some committed co-workers. But I think the goal here is really to be of the same mind, really. Because even though we want to set out to have the same purpose, but unless you actually work for a couple of years, working in a lot of ministries together, you can't really get a feel or experience, you know, what's our differences, and is this the right way to go about things? You know, is this what God wants us to do? So I think, so in terms of that, hopefully we can be able to, God really put the same mindset in us, so that everybody will agree, yes, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. You know, we have some up and downs, and, you know, like people sometimes disagree, and, you know, a lot of struggles. So I think that is very important, and it's not a easy process, and it's not a short process. It's not just folks get together, have a couple meetings, it will be done. You know, it's not like that. And also, I think we really need clarities in terms of what we do and the mission and vision. You know, of course, it's reach out to the folks around here and discipleship, but in terms of how to do it, in terms of what are the clearly, you know, the way of going about this, I think we still lack some of that clarity, and people sometimes not quite sure why we're doing this. You know, it's not clear. Maybe it's clear. So people might have different views, and so we need to work that out. It's kind of the same thing to establish a dedicated core group. It's really, we're of the same mind, and we're very clear about what we're doing. And then, of course, priorities. There's a lot of work, so we need to really prioritize. You know, what is it? Is it the closer fellowship? Is that the priority? Is a certain group of people reaching out to them is the priority, or something else? So we need to really prioritize. Otherwise, we're just going to be busy of doing things, right? So I think, And in the meantime, we need to keep on doing what we're doing. So that's my sort of short summary to what's been going on, and hopefully what's going to happen next year. And thank you all for letting me have this opportunity to share with you about what's going on in GCCBF.
Well, let's just pray together for this mission, because I think we all have a good idea of where they are going, and I think each and every one of us wants to have God's blessing on that ministry, and we want to see it flourish. We want to see it grow, and so let's just pray and ask God to help this mission to be what it's supposed to be. Thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can just pray for GCCBF and the whole mission of the Chinese ministries in this church. And Lord, you know of the struggles that was just mentioned. You know of the fact that they need some quality workers. you know of the struggle of clarity, of strategy, how to go about finding the specific way to go about accomplishing that mission. So, Lord, we just commit this mission. We commit the workers. Lord, we just pray for Pastor Yu that he would also find the steps that you have ordained for him to walk in, so that he will be able to know exactly how you want him to go about in the kingdom of God. Lord, we think of the community in this area, the Chinese community especially, that you touch them, that you bring them in by your Spirit, that you create that yearning after God. Lord, we also pray for the people already reached by your Spirit, the ones that are already attending. And we ask, Lord, that you would somehow touch them, bring them in a closer relationship with you, and make them stand firm in the ways of God, and bring them to the place where you want them to be strong, so that they will be able also to share the wonderful gospel that you have given us. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to begin my report by asking you two questions. Question number one, how much do you know about making friends? How much do you know about being a good friend? Question number two, how much do you care about whether or not you know anything about making friends or being a friend? Those are very important questions, because our ministry here at First Alliance Church is really about making friends. It's really about reaching out to people. We might think to ourselves that knowing how to make friends really doesn't change our life a lot. It doesn't help us know how to invest in the stock market. It doesn't pay our mortgage payment. It won't enable our kids to get into a better school. It certainly won't help us pay the cost of their education. And it won't even keep our hair from falling out. Although, I have heard that there are lots of bald-headed men out there who have lots of bald-headed friends. But in any case, what does knowing about friendship really mean to us? What does it really do for us? Well, what if I told you that I am absolutely convinced that we cannot carry out the ministry of the church, we cannot carry out the ministry God has given to us, if we're not willing to make friends, if we don't know how to make friends? Our ministry is about making friends, and that's what we want to look at today. And our text really is the book of Proverbs, the Old Testament book of Proverbs, but we're also going to look at another passage from the New Testament as well. But before we go any further, would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here, and we pray that you would speak to us now as we look back on the year past and as we look forward to the year that is yet to come. And that is, if you do not return to this earth before this year is over. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us now. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. It just so happens that as I was thinking about this Sunday and as I was thinking about our annual meeting, I had just finished reading the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And one of the things that really struck me this time as I read Proverbs is how much it has to say about friends, how much it has to say about friendship. And what it says about friends is not exactly in sync with what our culture thinks about friends. And it's not even in sync with, always, with what we evangelical Christians think about friends. For example, there is in Proverbs a very interesting verse, Proverbs 18:24, which is a bit shocking because it's not quite what we would expect. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." A friend who can be closer to us than a brother. And remember, this was written in the context of a culture that is even more pro-family than our own culture. And yet, the writer of this proverb, who may very well have been wise King Solomon, says that a friend can mean more to us and a friend can do more for us than our own flesh and blood siblings, than our own brothers and sisters. And then there is an equally controversial proverb, another one, Proverbs 17:17, which says this, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Siblings, this passage says, are born to help us when things fall apart, when the roof caves in, when we experience a catastrophe. Siblings are there to help us whenever we really need someone to lift us up. To help us in the midst of a real calamity. But a friend, this proverb says, a friend is there at all times, not just in the bad times, but in the good times and in the boring times, in the everyday, normal, mundane realities of life. A friend is there at all times. And so, friends can actually mean as much or even more to us than our connection with a sibling, an actual flesh and blood brother or sister. And that puts friendship on a very high platform indeed. Now, even though the Bible says all these wonderful and positive things about friendship, I don't think there is a society on earth, I don't think there's a place on earth where friendship is really recognized and given its due recognition. There is no place where it gets the kind of respect and recognition that it deserves. I mean, think about our own culture. How many hit records have been made about friends? How many hit records have been made about lovers, about love relationships? It seems that we're a lot more excited about romance than we are about friendship. And not only in society at large, but even in the church. The church has so much to say about marriage and parenting and how children are supposed to relate to their parents and to other people. We have so much to say about family, but in my whole life, I can only remember one message I ever heard on the subject of friendship and how to be a good friend. The Bible has a lot to say about friends, but it seems that it's very easy for us to ignore it and to overlook it. Let me give you one example of what I'm talking about. The church puts more emphasis on missions than we do on friendship. There is a gentleman, Jonathan Kinberg, who wrote a book called Multicultural Ministry Paradigms, and he shares the testimony of a young man in Mexico who came to the United States as a student. And when this young man was in Mexico, he and his friends were often ministered to by many youth groups who came from the United States to Mexico for a short-term mission trip. But listen to what he says after he came to the United States. "In Mexico, they wanted to be my friends because they wanted me to be their mission. But when I moved to the United States, no one wanted to be my friend." We tend to put more emphasis on reaching out to someone as our mission than we put on them as friends. But it's strange that we ignore friendship in the church because people are desperately in need of friends. There are so many articles out there that are being written by psychologists, psychiatrists, and they tell us that in our day, in this day when people turn to the internet for friendship, They look to a digital source for some kind of connection. They're not satisfied. Article after article has been produced saying that people are not satisfied with relationships on the internet, with Facebook and instant messaging and the many other ways, chat rooms. It's not satisfying what people are looking for. People are desperately looking for a friend. Well, if we need friends that badly and if we really want friends, how do we make friends? C.S. Lewis wrote a book some years ago called The Four Loves, and one of those four loves he talks about is friendship. And he says that if we want to make friends with people, we have to be willing to talk with people about the things that are really important to us. Talking about the weather doesn't make friends. Talking about our favorite sports team doesn't make friends. We have to be willing to talk to people about what's truly significant, what's really important to us. And this is what he says. This is why those pathetic people who simply want friends can never make any. The very condition for having friends is that you want something besides friends. If someone asks you, "Do you see the same truth?" and you answer, "I really don't care about that. I just want someone to be my friend," then no friendship can arise. There would be nothing for the friendship to be about. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. And that's why it ought to be easy for Christians to make friends, because we have something that's very important to us. We have a message that we want to share. We have a destination to which we are going, and we should want to invite people to come along with us on that trip, on that journey. It should be easy for Christians to make friends. And when we do this, when we're willing to talk with people about what's important to us, we find that we end up making connections. We make connections with people, connections that lead to real relationships, connections that can enable us to share the good news of the gospel. In an article in Christianity Today, Dr. Jerry Root, who's professor of evangelism at Wheaton College, talks about how easy it can be to make one of these meaningful connections. And this is his story. He says, "While my flight was delayed, I met a woman in the Vienna airport. She was wearing a lanyard with a name tag and carrying a clipboard, obviously taking a survey for the airport. When she came to me, I asked her what her name was. 'Allegra,' she replied. 'Allegra, are you from Vienna?' She answered, 'No, I grew up in southern Austria.' With that answer came the permission to ask, 'What brought you to Vienna?' She said she was a student. This opened the door to more questions. 'Where did she go to school? What was she studying?' After 20 minutes or so, I knew a good deal about Allegra. I knew that her mother had abandoned the family to go to Canada with her lover. I learned that her father's bitterness over his wife's desertion was toxic. I learned that her brother also attended the University of Vienna, but they were estranged. When I expressed my sadness for what seemed to be a good deal of estrangement from the people closest to her, she said it was far worse than she confided. She told me she had a boyfriend who went to study art in Florence for 6 months. He asked her to wait for him, and she did so. Her boyfriend returned the very day before I met Allegra, only to inform her that he met someone in Florence better than her. I knew where God was wooing her, and I knew the deep felt need where Allegra was likely to hear the gospel. After 20 minutes, she had not asked me one survey question. I said to her that I knew she had a survey to fill out, but that I had been sent to tell her something. She wondered if I was a plant put there by the airport to see if she was doing her job. I assured her it was nothing like that, but I had something to say to her once she finished her survey questions. She rushed through the airport survey, then put down her pen, looked me in the eye, and then eagerly asked, 'What were you supposed to tell me?' Knowing that Allegra felt abandoned and betrayed, I said to her, 'Allegra, the God of the universe knows you and loves you. He would never abandon you or forsake you.' I said it to her again, 'Allegra, he loves you.' Sometimes it takes three times before the words sink in. So I said it again, Allegra, he loves you. After the third time, she burst into loud sobs. Everyone in the gate area was looking in our direction. Through her tears, Allegra blurted out, but I've done so many bad things in my life. I responded, Allegra, God knows all about it, and that's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for all of your sins and to bring you forgiveness and hope. I was explaining the gospel to ears willing to hear and a heart willing to receive. You may find it hard to believe this, but this is the truth. There are many people around you, there are many people around me who are desperately looking for a friend, desperately hoping that you could be their friend, hoping that I could be their friend. And some of these people have ears that are open to hear the good news of the gospel, and some of them have hearts that are willing to receive it. And that is why we who are believers in Jesus have to be about the work of making friends. We've got to make sure we're committed to reaching out to be friends. There are many other verses in Proverbs about friendship, many others. One of my favorites is the one that says, don't spend too much time at your friend's house or he will get sick of you. That is a great proverb, and I think it's very true. But it's not only the book of Proverbs that has a lot to say about friends, so also did Jesus. Friendship was a big concern in the life of Jesus. As a matter of fact, at the Last Supper, Jesus made friendship the explanation for all he had done with his disciples. John 15:15, Jesus says this, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus came to this earth. He preached the good news of the gospel. He died and he rose again so that he might transform us, who were the enemies of God, into friends of God. That's why he gave his life. Why did Jesus have so much to say about friendship? Why was he so concerned about friendship? Because God is all about friendship. The Bible says that from all eternity, God has existed as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And for all eternity, those three persons did not exist in a relationship of disinterest. Those three persons did not exist in a relationship of hatred. Those three persons existed in a relationship of friendship. Friendship is eternal. Friendship has always existed. There has never been a time in all of eternity when there were no friends and no friendship, because God has always existed. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always existed as friends. And you and I, the Bible says, are created in the image of God. And that's why we feel inside us this desire to make friends and to be friends. It's part of who we are. It's at the core of our being. It's the image of God that is deep within us. We desire friends. We need friends. We want to make friends. This is the way that God has made us. But because of our sin, we separated ourselves from God. We turned our backs on God. And because of sin and selfishness, we find it hard to reach out to other people. And that's why God sent Jesus. He died to take away our sin. He died to wash us and cleanse us so that once again we can be friends with God. And once again we can reach out to other people. We can make friends with others because of what God has done for us. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we become friends with God. And we can be friends with other people. But Jesus said something more. He said that to his friends, God gave a mission. And that mission is to reach out and tell other people how they can become friends with God. And so we reach out in order to make friends. But as we make those friends, we want to tell them how they can become friends with God. We make friends with people to tell them how they can once again be God's friend. But is that really right? Is that really right? I mean, do we make friends for the purpose of telling them about Jesus? Does that mean that our friendship has an ulterior motive, that we're really not interested in making friends? It's really for the purpose of telling people about Jesus. Is that why we reach out as Christians and make friends? When we were at district conference a few weeks ago, Dr. T.V. Thomas was there speaking. He's been with the Alliance since the 1960s, but he was speaking to us on the subject of the sensitivity that is required in order to reach out to internationals, people who come to us from other countries. And he asked that question about why we reach out to someone as a friend. And he made this statement. He said, there's only one authentic reason, there's only one motivation for us to reach out and make people friends. And that is because we recognize in them someone who has real worth and dignity and value because they have been created in the image of God. We make friends because of what we see in that other person, a person created in the image of God, a person with awesome worth and awesome value. That is the reason why we reach out and make friends. If we reach out and make friends only in order to snare them, only in order to get them into church, only in order to get to share the gospel with them, then our friendship has become bait. It's become a hook to try and win people. We don't make friends just to get to share the gospel with them. We make friends because we love people, because people have value all on their own. But then when they become our friend, we feel a real desire, and that desire is to share with them the good news of the one who can give them life, the one who gives them life that never ends. And it's the same way with our family. We don't love people in our family in order to win them to Christ. We already love them. We love them because they're our family. We already have a love for them. But because we know Jesus, we have a desire for them to know the same life that we know, for them to have the same purpose that we have, for them to have the same hope of eternity that we have. And so as Christians, we reach out to friends. We reach out to make friends because we see in them something that we find so attractive, because we see in them something of worth and value. But then we have that desire. It's impossible for a child of God to reach out and make a friend without feeling that desire to share the good news of life that never ends. From start to finish, God's plan for the church and for the whole human race is focused on friendship. It's all about being a friend. And not only do I believe that the focus of our ministry is friendship, but I believe God is bringing to us the very ones He wants to become our friends and His. I want you to listen to something else that C.S. Lewis says in his book, The Four Loves. He says this: "We think we have chosen our own friends, but for a Christian, there is, strictly speaking, no chance of that. A secret master of ceremonies is always at work. Christ, who said to the disciples, 'You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you,' can also say to every group of Christian friends, 'You have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another.' At the feast of friendship, it is God who has spread the table, and it is God who has chosen the guests. The host of our friendship feast here at First Alliance Church is God. And He is the one who is bringing to us the people that He wants to be our friends and His friends. And so we are called. We're called to reach up to God through worship and through Bible study. We're called to reach across to our brothers and sisters in Christ through fellowship and through discipleship building. We're called to reach out to those who are outside the kingdom of God and win them to the Lord through evangelism and outreach activities. And the more we reach up and worship God, the stronger our friendship with God becomes. The more we have fellowship with each other, the more our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ is strengthened, and the stronger our friendship becomes. And the more we reach out to those who are outside the kingdom, the more we make friends. And as we make friends, we feel that desire to share with them the good news about the Savior. The reason for everything we do here at First Alliance Church is friendship. The reason for everything we have done this past year was to make friends, to reach out. And the reason for everything we're going to do in this coming year is to make friends, so that Jesus, the friend of sinners, can become known to those we make friends with, to those we have the desire to share the good news of life with. As you hear the reports that come, you've already heard Brother Yue's report, and as you hear the reports that are going to follow, you're going to realize, you're going to hear and understand that it's really all about making friends. Everything that was done is to make friends. Because friends have value. Friends have dignity and purpose and meaning in their life. But for every friend, we have this desire that they would know real life, life that never ends. Thank you.
Please bow with me for a word of prayer. Lord, we are a church that wants to be about your business. And Lord, as Pastor Kevin has explained, your business is about us making friends. And Lord, not making friends as a goal, like let me make this friend so that then I can speak about Christ. Lord, you want us to speak about you in our everyday relationships. But Lord, may we make friends because people are valued, Lord. That we value others because they're made in your image. And Father, this morning I pray that you would help us as a church to be about that, that that would become our mission. Lord, sometimes we hear that word evangelism and we get a little intimidated by it. But as Pastor Kevin explained, Lord, it's just about making friends. Lord, may you be with Pastor Kevin, Lord. May he be the one to lead us, to show us by example, Lord, what it is to make a friend. And Father, to share with those friends. Lord, may you make us a people who goes out and is friendly, but also makes friends, Father, that we might share your word. Lord, we have heard this morning the message that you've given to Pastor Kevin. And Father, I ask that you would help us to take that, and that you would help that to become our mission as well. Father, we pray these things in your name. Amen.
So I get to talk to you now about my role, what I do here at the church. I'm going to talk to you about the administration piece that I do first, because I'll get that out of the way. As you know, this is a big building, and so part of what I do is I make sure that everything runs smoothly, that if things get broken, they get fixed, and all of that kind of stuff. So I would love your assistance on that. If you see anything that needs to be adjusted or needs to be fixed, just always let me know. We're going to be a couple projects we're working on right now as we're taking care of the parking lot. You might notice we've got some areas that are kind of crumbling, and we want to fix those. And we want to seal it and make it nice and pretty, all that kind of fun stuff. So we're also just working on some things with the building. All right, that's it for that. Oh, and then I also am part of the communication piece. So if ever you need to know anything, you can come find me. If we've got events coming up, I'm the one who gets all that information out. If you are not receiving a weekly email that has announcements, I'd love for you to come and talk to me. I'm actually realizing that there's some people that fell through the cracks when we did a switch over to a different way of doing email. So please come and talk to me if you're not getting those emails, or if you would like to receive them, that's another thing you can let me know about. My other hat that I wear, I should have brought two hats with me today, is what you see me do on Sunday morning, and that's the worship piece. And as Pastor Kevin was talking, really the reaching up part is what I get to help all of us do, and my desire is to help us do that well. Becoming friends with God, that's an awesome task. And when we come to worship, when we come Sunday morning, when we come Thursday nights to the dinner and praise nights, when we have special services, those are opportunities for us to really reach up together to God, to become friends with God, and to deepen that friendship with the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit about our dinner and praise nights. How many of you have been able to attend those dinner and praise nights? Yeah, they're just a lot of fun. We just have, it's a great time of just coming together. We eat together, get to be friends with each other. when we eat together. And then we just spend some time worshiping together. And it's very, there's no agenda. There's no real, I don't have like things that we are planning on doing. It's really kind of seeing what God wants to do that evening among us and through us and with us. And I would just really encourage you to come and participate. The one that we have coming up in November, I'm working on, still need to get the permit for it, but I'm working on us having a bonfire in the back and just doing kind of like a campfire time, you know, sitting around the campfire and telling stories and singing songs and making s'mores. That has to be at a campfire. So I'm working on that, so I'm excited about that. But those times are just a really beautiful marriage, really, of being friends with each other and being friends with God, because we invite God to be in the midst of us at those times, and it's really, really sweet. So I'd encourage you to be a part of that. The final thing that I want to talk to you about this morning is about our times together when we worship. I was thinking just recently that, you know, there's things that we do. We just do because, you know, we're supposed to do them. We come together, we sing, we stand, we do offering, we dismiss the kids, but all of those have reason and have purpose. And I want to talk to you just real quickly about why we do music. What is it about music that that is important for us to do together? And that's the key. It's something we do together. When we stand together and when we sing, or if you don't sing, that's totally fine, but you're with us and we're all in this place. We all have our focus in the same direction, clap together, all of those things. It's something that we are doing together that is knitting our hearts to each other and also to the heart of the Father, which is just really, really sweet. And I don't do that by myself. And so that's how I want to kind of finish my report, is just I'm asking my worship team to come on up. So John, if you would come, and Drew, and Jacob, and David. Bree is actually in the nursery. And the other thing that is happening that I'm really excited about is we have Shin Lee, who is going to be joining us singing. She's a member of the Chinese group. So we're thrilled to have that. Come on up. Come on, I don't want to be by here all by myself. The other people that are part of our team is the Justins we have in the back. So if you guys would come on up, they are the ones who do the projection and the sound. Yes, both of you come. And then also Kayla is part of that. So Kayla, if you would come. And then I've asked Ross if he would be, well, our elder, is going to pray for us. I didn't forget anyone, right? Yeah, this is my team. I really want to thank them for the work that they do. Thank you. I love the fact that we get to do the music part together, and we get to do this, be part of a team. So that's just been really sweet. And you guys are part of our team, too, so I should have you all come up, but I'm not going to do that. But it is such an honor, and I think that these guys would agree, such an honor to do worship and to do this music time together with you. And it knits our hearts together. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun, and I think that's part of what friendship is, right? It's enjoying each other and enjoying the gifts that God has given to us. So, Ross, if you would come.
I think we should give them a little more round of encouragement just because, you know, it is what it is. A couple PowerPoint notes as Jen was talking. I don't know about you, but some days I don't feel like coming to church. Oops. It's not because I don't want to in my heart. It's because either I'm tired, it's raining, it's hot. You know, do you relate to, isn't it? Anybody not relate to it? Say, oh my. Okay, oh my. Oh my. Y'all are liars, I'm telling you. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, one thing I wanted to say about, before I pray, and is the worship team. When I have that attitude and I come in, and I'm just going, want to just kind of crawl under a rock because it's okay for me to do that. The worship team, it never fails. They pick me up and they take me to a place where God wants me to be. And I've taken that for granted sometime. And so you may have taken it for granted. You may be better than me for sure, but they have, Jennifer does a lot of work in the ministry team, the worship team. If you're in ministry at all, you know it doesn't happen by wishful thinking and osmosis. I'm in ministry very much so, and it takes a lot of thought. We only see 10% of what they do. The 90, like the iceberg, the 90% you never see, but it's there because it holds up the point. These are the point people here. So let's give them another round of encouragement for just blessing us. And she just briefed over it, but I know why she did it. The communication and administration, that is extremely detailed office of a church, extremely detailed. You just don't know what goes into it unless you've been there. But she keeps up with all the stuff that goes on in this church, and sometimes we overlook that too. So just give her a thank you for keeping up with our directory, our notices, our emails. I get tired just thinking about all the stuff she does because she does the work of at least five people. And whatever you're getting paid, you're not getting paid enough. That's just my idea. Yeah, I know. So in dinner and praise, I come to dinner and praise because I don't say a whole lot, and that's hard for me to do because I'm a preacher and a teacher. But the dinner and praise part of what Jennifer does, for me, you should come, is to rest, recoup, relax, and refresh. How many of you need that in your spirit today? And so you can come, you can say nothing, you can say something, you can pray, you can raise your hands, you can not raise your hands. I would strongly suggest you, if you have a hard week like I do, how many of you have ever had a hard week? There's Peggy, she's being honest. Come to dinner and praise and let God, through Jennifer and her team, lift you up to the throne of grace. Is that a good idea? Am I the only one thinking that? Say amen if you agree. Amen. Amen if you don't. Oh my, okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this fellowship, First Alliance Church. We thank you for the hearts that are sitting here listening to my voice. We have a lot of issues in our life, for sure. But we know that our relationship with you is not about our issues. It's about our relationship, because our lives are changing in dramatic speed. Things happen, sickness, death, health, all the things that you say would happen, but you say, fear not, that I'm always with you no matter what tribulations we may be experiencing. So thank you for this church. Thank you for their prayers. Thank you for their hard work and diligence to your kingdom and to bring people to Christ. We especially thank our leader, Pastor Kevin, as our pastor, our friend, and our leader. He's become a great person for me in my life and a great friend of mine as well, and with everyone else too. So Father, in just a brief moment, we ask your special blessing upon Jen and her worship team. They always lift us up when maybe we're feeling down. So put a special blessing on them when they feel down and they don't feel like coming to church, or they feel like staying in bed, and you get them to where they want to be. And sometimes that's a very difficult challenge. Thank you for giving them the energy, the stamina, the courage, and everything they need to come and minister to us every Sunday, most every Sundays. And thank you for the opportunity to just be here. Even though we might have issues and our minds may be drifting off, their worship team has a way of bringing us back to the throne of grace. So, Father, won't you put a special blessing on them? Won't you put your hands of protection on them? Give them the stamina and the energy and the courage and the boldness and everything they need to keep on doing what they're doing, because they're doing the right thing. They're doing kingdom work, and we should all appreciate it and pray for them as much as we can. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
I'd like to begin by thanking everyone who's been involved in ministry to youth and children in 2017. This includes those who worked in VBS, provided transportation, served food, or in any other way supported this ministry. Would you stand? Don't be shy. And could you give them a round of applause, please? Debbie, you transported. Get up. Okay, thanks. A year ago, I stood here on Annual Reports Sunday and shared my heart for more connection in our children and youth ministries, connection with God, connection with self, and connection with others. As most of you know, 2016 had been a very difficult one for my family, as our younger son's problems with drug addiction, came to a head. It's been a long time since we've shared about that in a public way, so I'd just like to say that our journey in recovery continues, and God is very much at work in our family. Scott is living on his own now, and we do remain connected to him. God's kind of given us a little miracle in that when he was in treatment, we started having family phone calls, conference calls with his therapist, and we have continued those as a family. So every week we get on the phone with each other for an hour, and that keeps that connection really fresh, and I'm so thankful for that. And I continue to be thankful for all of you who have and continue to hold us up in prayer, and pray especially for Scott. One thing that I have learned in this recovery journey, or had reinforced, is that until we can learn to love and take care of ourselves, we really can't give to others, at least in a healthy way. Jesus did say to love others as you love yourself. So back to connection. The more we can connect with the deepest parts of ourselves, including our hurts and fears, the more we can connect with God and others. My desire is the same as it was a year ago, for the children and youth to have a safe place here at church to be real and be encouraged to face their fears, their doubts, and their hurts. I also want church to be a place where they can learn the truth of God's word, the reality of God's presence, the fact that God is always speaking, and our part is to learn to hear, and that God will never abandon them. This combination of having a safe place to be real and learning God's truth is powerful. I'm pleased to say that my goals for more opportunities for that kind of connection did happen. Please read my report for more about that. My goal for 2018 is to continue and deepen what we are already doing. I would like to be more intentional about promoting the spiritual disciplines with the children and youth. The habits we set early in life can make all the difference. As most of you know, this past week has been a very difficult one for one of our families. And they are here today, and I'm so honored by your presence. Thank you for coming. Hearing about friendship, they have some good friends, Carlos, Rosa, Odalis, and Williams. Thank you for coming today to be here. From anybody that doesn't know, I pick up three girls, Ashleen, Jelena, and Amy, every Sunday morning. The same way I used to pick up their three brothers, William, Brian, and Charlie. And a week ago tonight, Brian died and is no longer with us, but he is with us and in spirit. And I have watched this family, and there's Mom, Anna, and yes, she's raising her hand if you want to look. That's Anna. Brian's stepdad, DeBusio. Their little brother, Jason. Jason, can you raise your hand? And I have watched you as a family this week, and I want to thank you from my heart, and I know some others that were there. Thank you for the way you love each other. Thank you for the way you let us in to watch you grieve, and the way you looked up to God and looked to each other and shared your hearts and went to those deep places in your heart. And I know you've got a long journey ahead. And we just want to keep lifting you up in prayer and being there for you. And I know you have many people that are there for you. And I just thank you. Thank you so much. And we all loved Brian. We want to help this family in a tangible way as well. And I know it's our heart to honor the family by giving a monetary gift. So today, as soon as we finish, Ms. Jennifer is going to play a song. And we're going to pass around an offering, a place where you can give an offering. If you want to give a check, make it out to First Alliance Church, and you can write on the memo line, Ortez, love offering. And if you want to give later, if you're not prepared today, you can talk to me. At this time, I'd like to invite my children's church workers, my Sunday school teachers, and nursery workers to come forward, because these are the people that are in the weekly and monthly ministry of to children and youth. So if you would come forward, and Paul Geishan is going to come and pray for children's, yes, and my helpers, my children's church helpers, the young people. Thank you. Yeah, well, okay, that's Miss Peggy. Raise your hand, Miss Peggy. She's a part of us. And Paul, I'm going to invite you to come pray now.
I do want to say very briefly that who you see up here right now are making eternal differences. Most of you know I've been a lifelong educator. And frankly, everything we do in the church is important. But if I had to take only one thing we would do, it would be to reach our children and to help our parents in the most difficult job there is in the world. And so I just appreciate every one of you and your work. And you older teens who are willing to be an example for the younger ones. And I especially thank Margaret. She's supposed to be part-time. Right. She spends more time than most people do full-time. So let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you so much for our children. Children's a relative term. We break it up here into children and youth. But Father, you called us to be like little children. With a fresh heart, a heart that's open and eager and excited to find out new things and discover truth. But Lord, the reality is there are so many things pulling on our children and youth. So many voices saying, go this way, go that way, and so many of them are so harmful. So I just thank you for the investment, the hard work that each one up here is putting in to helping our young people discover and find the right way. That which they can really stand upon. That fact that they are loved. No matter what happens in their lives, they can always know Jesus does love them. And he is always right there with them. And that they can learn that there are right ways to be friends with others. And there's a lot of people who would like to manipulate them and use them and pretend to be friends. Thank you for those here who are helping them to understand what true friendship really means. Father God, would you bless each one of these workers? Help them in their own personal needs as well, just as Margaret has shared about their personal family challenges. Help them, Lord, that they can share how you're working in their life, because that's the way that you can work in each one of the children in the youth's life. So, Lord, bless them, bless our youth, and may the work that is going on now continue on without stopping. Lord, raise up more workers. Bring us more children and youth. Help us to help them and the parents. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now I would like to ask people to go gather around a circle around the family. We're going to have a special word of prayer for Brian's family. So anyone who would like to, would you gather around them, please?
Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we freely admit, although we think we understand life, there is so much we do not understand. We don't understand why a 17-year-old boy would be hit by a car and his life taken. We don't understand how this could be. Because when we think about life, this just doesn't make sense and it just does not seem right. And yet we know that you are Lord. And although we may not have an answer for what happened, the most important truth we know is that you are God and you are Lord over all life. You are Lord over every circumstance. And even when things happen that are not in accordance with your will, and we believe that your word says that death is not only our enemy, death is your enemy. You did not bring death into the world. Sin brought death into the world. And we know that your word says that you hate death. And Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead on that Easter Sunday morning, he defeated the power of death. And so we come to you today, to one who has defeated death and who says to us that if we put our faith and trust in you, then we will know life that never ends. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the one who defeated the power of death. You have defeated darkness. You have defeated sorrow. You have defeated all of the horrible things in life. And Lord, we come to you today looking to you to place your hands on this family and to give them your peace. Give them, Lord, your presence, and may your presence be so near to them that they will feel it and know it, that they will know that you are there and that you love them and that you love Brian and that you have loved him from the moment he was conceived, and that your purpose and your plans cannot be defeated by the enemy. That you will be victorious and you will conquer. Lord, we thank you for that good news. We thank you for the gospel in the midst of all the terrible pain and sorrow. We thank you there is good news that Jesus is risen, he is the Savior, and he is the Lord of all life. And so, Lord, bring that good news to this family. Bless them, Lord, in every way. We pray that their financial needs would be met. We pray that you would walk with them day by day. Help them in the pain and the sorrow that they feel and the times when it seems there's more darkness than light. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would be light to them, that you would shine your light into the dark places, and that you would make all the dark places fill with light. Lord, be with them. Strengthen them. Enable them. And comfort them, we pray, with the comfort of the resurrected Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, ushers, if you would come, we're going to go ahead and take this offering now as we sing the song. Check. Just remember, you can make it to First Alliance Church. Just put the Ortez family or Ortez offering in the memo line. All right, let's sing together.
Before I got up here this morning, Kelly reminded me of that famous proverb, blessed are the brief, for they will be heard. So we'll try to keep it brief. I'm here to talk to you about the office of elders. My name is Abel. I was elected to be the head elder. And if you're wondering, where does this office of elder come from? Why do we even have elders? Well, Paul in the book of Titus writes about the office of elder, and he's writing to Titus, who is in charge, or Paul has asked him to be in charge of the church in Crete, the island of Crete. And here's what he says about the office of elders. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So today I wanted to introduce you, in case you don't know, to the men who are elders of First Alliance Church, and I'll have them stand and as I read their names. So for this year, 2017, we had me, my name's Abel, we had Paul Geishan, also David Grove, Ross Antonakis, and Mike Pointer. So these were your elders, and I was going to say also Pastor Kevin is an elder. He's not an officially elected elder, but he is one as well. And I do want to point out that to be an elder, you don't necessarily have to be old. So I'll let you decide who the elderly elders are and who the non-elderly elders are. But what do the elders do in the ministry of First Alliance Church? As elders, we are committed to pray for the ministry of First Alliance Church. We are, as you heard what Paul said in the book of Titus, an elder is supposed to be a spiritual leader in the church. This is why we always have an elder on duty in every service, the elder who prays after the gathering song and then who is available to pray after the worship is the elder on duty. We also pray with whoever the speaker is that morning and just ask the Lord to help them bring his message to us each day. And also, in addition to praying just during the morning service, everyone who is a regular attender at First Alliance Church is part of an elder care group where that elder is specifically assigned to pray for you, to try and connect with you, to ask you what needs you might have, what ways we can pray for you specifically, and then to keep you and uphold you in prayer during the week. So each of you, even though you may not know it or may not have known it, have someone praying for you during the week. Have someone who is concerned with what's going on in your life. Now, if you're here and you're wondering, hey, Abel, who is my elder? What elder care group am I a part of? I did bring with me today the list of everyone and who is under who in the elder care group. So if you need to ask me after the service, you can do that. I've also provided that list to Jen. So if ever during the week or sometime if you want to email either one of us, we can tell you who your elder are or elder is. Sorry. The elders, this year, we've visited people, we've taken communion to people, we've prayed for and with people. Also, the elders, we don't desire the elders simply be a part of the spiritual life and not have anything to do with the decision-making and on the day-to-day decisions of the church. So each elder is also a part of the governance authority, which the governance authority is the board, is the group that makes kind of the business decisions of the church. We don't want to separate the spiritual side with the business side. We want the Lord to be guiding us. We want the Lord to move in our business decisions, in the day-to-day decisions as well. So each of the elders is on the governance authority. In addition to serving on the governance authority, the elders also work with the staff to come up with goals and plans throughout the year. And specifically, we also have come up with a process to help them as they write down certain goals that they would have for the year. It's got a long name, but a very simple acronym. It's the Professional Staff Assessment and Accountability Process. But since you're not going to remember that, we also call it the PSAP. So we PSAP our staff, and we help them to come up with these goals and pray with them, check in on them throughout the year. And in addition to working with the staff on that, the elders also form the membership committee. So if someone, if you're here and you say, hey, I would like to be a part of First Alliance Church and a part not just attending it, but I want to become a member of it, it would be the elders who would organize a membership class. We do a short interview with you, and then we welcome you into membership in First Alliance Church. So how can you pray for your elders? You can pray for us, that God would give us wisdom, that God would help us to be like the elders that Paul, that I just read in Titus, blameless. Pray with us, not only for us personally, but that we would have wisdom not only for our own lives, but for the spiritual life and the direction of this church, because that is what we're called to do. We like to say, I think, that as a pastor or an elder, we are the chief servants. So we're here to serve you. We're not here to be in charge and to make things go our own way, but pray for us that we would be chief servants.
Oops. Jennifer asked me to share an incident that happened at the prison, and so the one that comes to mind, it was during the summer, I can think it was. Judy Cox and I were there, as we always do, the first Saturday in the month, and we all miss Judy, don't we? I miss her so much. But anyway, this particular day, we went in, and there were 9 Hispanic women, and there were 2 others from some other country. I don't remember now where it was, but we realized, what are we going to do? We can't speak Spanish. How are we going to minister to these girls? And this was the first time in, I think, Abraham, haven't we been gone about 18 years? Every time there would be an interpreter, but this time there wasn't any. And I thought, well, we didn't want them to leave. We had to minister, but we didn't know how. And Judy said, well, Gloria, you take the 2 that know a little bit of English, and I can't remember what countries they were from, and I'll take the 9 that speak. I says, what are you going to say to them? And she just kind of smiled. And in a few minutes, she started singing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And they knew that song. A lot of them did, and so they started singing in Spanish, and she was singing in English, but that didn't matter. The Lord was there. We were there to minister to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit helped them to understand. They were speaking their language, and they knew the Lord in their language, and it was just a wonderful time, and there were lots of tears, but it was tears of joy and laughter. And it was just such a blessed time. We were so glad that we didn't say, oh, we can't talk because we just don't speak the language, but the Lord did it for us. And this happens so many times. And so we're just really thankful how the Lord takes care of us and how he blesses. And he uses us in spite of ourselves. And that's it's just a wonderful ministry. And we're just so thankful for how the Lord provides.
And I'm with the missions team. If you're on the missions team, if you'll stand up. This is our outreach with our domestic missions as well as foreign missions. And also we have 2 new members that will come in on this week, this year. Marcia Marshall, is she in the nursery?
She's in the children's
Okay, I was afraid of that. Okay, and then Johnny Lopez. All right, so we're expanding. We're totally revamping many things. If you notice with the list here of our different outreaches that we've helped financially, we have touched the four corners of the world, especially through the Great Commission Women that had their national project in the Baltics. We also had contributions to Papua and also through Japan. We have gone down to Liberia, you name it. But the interesting part is that's the least we did this year in 20 years for foreign missions. What we've done the majority of the time is domestic. We have had more things done with the international school where Shirley and June go. The pointers with the robotics team with Mike, they qualify for the national finals in Houston. And these were kids that were in refugee camps 5 years ago. So, I mean, God has done a tremendous work with our domestic missions here. We are now going into the shop with a cop. If you notice that, that's one of the things we've contributed for. We have seen children that are high risk in crime-ridden areas of Atlanta go with a policeman to shop for Christmas, and we sponsor one of those children. Literally, many of them end up staying through high school, going to college, or going into the police force themselves. They have seen such a statistic with this, it's been amazing. So this is another thing we've become actively involved with our own DeKalb County Police Department. So if you have any questions, please stop me, okay? For next year, we're kind of aiming to expand into the Envision Ministry down in Clarkston. We would like to send a team of our young people. That means we have to send parents with them or chaperones for a full week being housed and fed there. Okay, let me say that again, because that's with how many nationalities, Margaret? 27? Yeah. Like 20, there are a multitude of nationalities within a 3 mile square. 60 unreached people groups. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? So that is a big goal for next year for us, as well as putting a bit more balance in our missionary speakers. Thank you.
Let's pray for these. Father, we thank you for the elders. Thank you personally that I could be a part of that group for these years. Thank you for Abel and his leadership. Lord, we thank you for the prison outreach. Thank you for your coming to pay the price of sin and set the captives free. And thank you for these opportunities to share your love with the people there and help them to know you. And thank you for the missionaries in many parts of the world, and say bring your love there, and for your command to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. Thank you also for people from all over the world who have come here and the chance to be friends with them and show your love to them. Lord, we pray to just bless all the different outreaches and bless those that we come in contact that they can really experience friendship with them, and that they will see your love through us. In Jesus' name.
So as we close together this part of our day today, would you stand with me, and we're going to sing. We're going to sing the song that's really become our theme song of this year, Build Your Kingdom. All right, you ready?
Set your rule and reign in our hearts again.
Down our lives for heaven.
thank you all for being with us this morning. What we're going to do now is we have lunch out in the hallway. There are box lunches. It's ham, turkey, chicken salad, and there's a couple of vegetarian ones. And so if you would go grab your lunch, and there's drinks in the foyer, at least they will be in about 2 seconds, maybe 2 minutes. But anyway, there are going to be drinks in the foyer. So basically just find a place to eat lunch, and then we're going to come back in here. Members, you are required. those of you who are not, you're welcome to do that at 1 o'clock, and we will do the financial part of our time together, and we just want to be, you know, upfront with all that's going on money-wise. And then we will also do our elections. So that's going to happen at 1 o'clock. Lunch now in the hallway. And if you are visiting with us this morning, thank you. It's been kind of a different morning, but we're really glad you're here because you got a chance to see who we are. And if you have, if you are visiting and would fill out a visitor card for us, a connection card, that'd be great. We'd love to have your info. All right, let me pray for you real quick. Well, in fact, I'll pray for lunch. You can go ahead and eat right away. And also, David and Gail are up available to pray if you came with a need this morning that you just want some prayer for. We always want to provide that for you. So let me pray for our lunch, and then we will be dismissed to go eat. Lord God, we thank you so much for the fact that you are building your kingdom here. As we sing this song, I love the hope that it brings to my heart because I see you at work among us. And that's just awesome, God. We just thank you and bless you for that. We thank you, too, for this time we get to have lunch together, to fellowship together, to really celebrate the fact that you are at work and you are creating friendship here. And we have so much to offer as we reach out to our neighbors that it just inspires us, God, and it makes us want to be even better friends. And we just bless you and we praise you. Thank you for this food. Thank you for those who have shared this morning. And continue to use us, God, to build your kingdom here on earth. And we bless you, and we pray this in your powerful name. Amen. All right, go get some lunch. And enjoy.